Well, good morning again. It is always, I love the opportunity. I'm glad it's just every now and then. I couldn't do this on a weekly basis. But I tell you what, our pastor is amazing. The support that he gives the staff is incredible. After I did the opening a little bit ago, I sat down next to him and he leaned into me and he said, "Listen, don't worry about me at all here this morning." He said, I'm going to be asleep. So Edward, if you hear any snoring, hit him, okay? Now, this morning I want to do I want to do something a little bit unconventional as far as a sermon goes. Am I going to sing and dance? I promise. I want you to stay seated.
Why not?
Yeah. A little unconventional, a little outside the box. But then again, I'm unconventional, and I'm a little outside the box. So, is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, this morning we're not going to do a 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 point sermon. It's going to be 10. No. There's no points this morning. I want to break down some scripture for us this morning, and I just want to ask a question. I want to ask a question. Something maybe a little bit different. You know, we all make decisions in life. All of us. We all face, at some point in time in our lives, we have to make defining moment decisions. Defining moment decisions. You know, and sometimes in our lives, they come at us really quickly. Sometimes, and think back on your life when you had some defining, do I need to define what a defining moment is? Okay. We know those, don't we? We know those in our lives when we're about to make a decision that could change our life forever. Or sometimes, even more importantly, change the lives of those around us. So sometimes we have to be careful, don't we? You know, some decisions that we make in life that are defining moments in our lives, sometimes they're bold and they're significant decisions, like really who to marry. You know, I hope everyone in here did not take that lightly, because that is a defining moment decision. Who to marry. For younger people, or even some of us in the room, as we got ready to go to college, that was a defining moment, where you were going to go to school, or maybe what career path to take. Those are bold defining moment decisions that we all have to make. You know, but often we make choices without really recognizing them as defining moment decisions. And think about our culture today. Think about how our culture, you know, really, we all prefer a wide range of choices for everything. You know, if you want a hamburger, you've got a dozen within a 5-mile radius. You probably have a close to a dozen places that you can go get a hamburger. That's a good thing.
Okay.
I can't eat many burgers anymore, but think about our culture. We have so many different opportunities in front of us when it comes to making decisions. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing to have a wide range of things in our life that, you know, so we don't just have to choose one thing, or maybe only have a couple of things to choose from. That's a good thing. We love having options, but again, keeping up with all these decisions can be overwhelming. Let me share a defining moment, a decision in my life. And maybe some of you guys can relate to this. When my wife and I decided to have children, that was a defining moment in my life. You know, it's amazing. Men, I hope that all of y'all witness the birth of your children. If somebody doesn't believe in God after watching the birth of a child, but I tell you what, when our children were born, I thought, man, can I handle this? You know, I was young, a little bit older than Stephanie. I married up, but there was, you know, when we had our children, I thought, look, I'm a father now, and not only am I a father, but I'm a father to Hannah and Hallie. Here are two living creatures, two-legged, by the way. Okay. Two living creatures that I'm now responsible for. I mean, that was huge. I am now a father, and not just a father, but of Hannah and Hallie, two children that God had trusted me with. That was a defining moment in my life, to say the very least. Well, this morning we're going to look at an Old Testament passage, and if you're not already there, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Genesis 13. We're going to look at an Old Testament man with really, he had an impressive resume. He really did. And our man this morning is Lot, okay? Lot was a nephew of Abraham, who, of course, everybody remembers Abraham in the Bible. He's just a man throughout the Bible that lived with amazing faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He loved God. He served Him. Abraham was considered a extremely wealthy man in his time. He had flocks and herds and servants by the hundreds. And I'm just kind of setting up this passage, okay? Lot's father died while Lot was still a young man. And from that time forward, his uncle Abraham kind of took him under his wing, okay? Abraham really, in all honesty, and we'll see in this passage, he must have really taught Lot his business skills as well, because we see also that Lot accumulated a fortune of his own. And there came a time in Abraham's life where God had told Abraham to move. And so Abraham, being a man of faith, packed his bags and he started out on his journey. He took all of his wealth and all of his family, and he also took along his nephew Lot, okay? And think about this as we go through this story. It was kind of like two huge corporations moving. So get in your mind's eye, if we fast forward to today, think about this. Pepsi, everybody knows Pepsi, right? Okay, you know I'm kind of an interactive guy, so yes and no, and laugh a little, it's okay. Pepsi, Coke, kind of rolling, okay? Abraham and Lot. Now, this may be a stretch in here, but Apple, and I don't mean the kind of Apple you bite, but the phone, and Samsung. Apple and Samsung, everybody? Sorry. Apple and Samsung, okay? Frito-Lay and Golden Flake. Not two big corporations, huh? I love Golden Flake. Or Tom's. Up north we eat a lot of Tom's. You like Tom's Fritos, by the way? Yeah, whatever. So Tom's or Golden Flake and Frito-Lay, okay? So get in your mind's eye. It was two huge corporations sort of moving down the road, okay? And naturally, in a situation like that, and we've seen it, we've seen this happen, and I can't really think of anything right now, but I do remember corporations as they tried to merge together, some things happen. So naturally, when there's two huge outfits like that, you can expect some conflict. But let me note, as we read the story, and you'll see, it's in verse 10, I think, or something like that, maybe 7 or 8, something like that, that the conflict was not between Lot and Abraham, but between their employees, okay? So let me pray, and we're going to read the scriptures. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this time. And God, just show us now. Lord, I pray through the scriptures, God, that you will show us, Lord, the importance of defining moment decisions in our lives. God, we can think back on many that you brought us through. God, we can think back on many probably in our lives where we didn't acknowledge your presence, and we made a defining moment decision by ourselves, and maybe it failed. God, so I pray today we will understand from the scriptures, Lord, as we look at them, the importance of following hard after you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Genesis 13, verse 1. Then Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he, his wife, and all he had, and Lot with him. Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. He went by stages from the Negev to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had formerly been, to the site where he had built the altar. And Abram worshiped the Lord there. Now Lot, who was traveling with Abram, also had flocks, herds, and tents. But the land was unable to support them as long as they stayed together, for they had so many possessions that they could not stay together. And there was quarreling between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were living in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Please, let's not have quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, since we are relatives. Isn't the whole land before you? Separate from me. If you go to the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. Lot looked out and saw that the entire Jordan Valley, as far as Zoar, was well watered everywhere, like the Lord's garden in the land of Egypt. This was before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose the entire Jordan Valley for himself. Then Lot journeyed eastward, and they separated from each other. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, but Lot lived in the cities of the valley and set up his tent near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were evil, sinning greatly against the Lord. After Lot had separated from him, the Lord said to Abram, "Look from the place where you are. Look north and south, east and west, for I will give you and your offspring forever all the land that you see. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if one could count the dust of the earth, then your offspring could be counted. Get up and walk from one end of the land to the other, for I will give it to you." So Abram moved his tent and went to live beside the oaks of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. So we see here in this passage, and again, we're not going to go a few points. We're going to ask one question in a little bit, so stick with me with this, okay? I'm going to kind of discuss more what this passage is saying to us. We see here that Abraham had to make a defining moment decision. He really had to decide how to deal with this conflict between, for the lack of a better term, his employees and Lot's employees, okay? And he made the choice to put his family, and his family's peace above personal gain. So he has suggested that they go their separate ways, okay? So even though Abraham had the seniority, what he really did here, he humbled himself, didn't he? He humbled himself and he gave first choice of the grazing ground to Lot. Now, on the other hand, Lot didn't recognize that he was making or deciding about a defining moment in his life, like Abraham did. And he didn't realize that his choice would essentially affect the rest of his life. And for this lack of time, and really a whole nother sermon altogether, if you want to find out in detail some things that had happened a lot later on tonight or today or maybe sometime in your quiet times this week, I want to encourage you to read Genesis 19. That kind of gives you a picture of some things that happened a lot, okay? Nowhere in the Scriptures do we see where Lot maybe grabbed Abraham and said, "Hey, Uncle Abraham, come here, give me some advice on what to do. You know, what do you think would be the best way to divide the land?" We didn't see Abraham ask those kind of questions. Instead, he thought only of himself and what was best for his family. Okay? Selfish decisions usually lead to destruction. While selfish decisions lead to destruction. But selfless decisions usually lead to life. Lot thought only of Lot, as we see in the Scriptures. And as a result, he messed up. He made a selfish decision, and he paid for it with his family. And Lot pitched his tent near Sodom. Okay, it was the cities on the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. And these were morally depraved cities, as we know. So Lot should have had sense enough to stay away from them, but what he did, he chose foolishly. Okay, he chose foolishly to set up camp near Sodom. Now, the Scriptures are pretty clear. I think in verse 12 it says near Sodom. So Lot didn't move just right into Sodom and go full bore into this city. He kind of stayed on the outskirts of it, you know. So imagine this in your mind's eye with this. Okay, at first he just camped nearby. Okay, but he camped with the tent facing the city. Okay. And he wasn't right in it, but in all honesty, if you think about it, he didn't turn his back on the city either, okay? So here's the question. I want to ask yourself this. What is your tent pitched toward? What is your tent pitched toward? What is your tent pitched toward, okay? Slow. Dr. Kerr said slow. Say that slow when you say it. Where's your tent pitched? That's the question today. Everybody get that? Anybody sleeping yet? Okay, so think about that. You may say to yourself, "I would not go there and I would not do that." But maybe there's something in your life where you're just kind of sitting on the outskirts of maybe saying to someone or maybe doing. Maybe you have a decision right now where you don't really know which way to turn. And you're kind of on the outskirts of that, okay? You're kind of watching it and waiting. But listen, we need to understand, there could be some sin involved there. There could be some sin involved, and you're kind of on the outside of that, okay? But once you start, listen, we need to understand that once we start moving towards sin, we're eventually going to end up within its city limits. We're going to end up within its city limits. We're going to walk through some things this morning to kind of help us understand that and possibly help us to be able to identify that and have accountability so that doesn't happen, okay? But listen, we all have... There's things in our society, you know, things have just changed, you know. I mean, these days, I can't believe that I can talk on this, you know. I mean, when I was in some of y'all, I mean, we didn't have this in our community, but it's my understanding that, you know, that at one time, there were several people in a community that could share like one phone. I don't remember that. Now I do, you know, I'm going to be 40-something this year. And so, now I'll be 48 in December. So, I had a phone with a cord on it. That's a good thing. But think about what our young people especially are facing today. I can, at my fingertips, I mean, this is like the size of a box of cards. And I can pretty much find anything I want. Can find drugs, can find sex, can find money. I can be a creeper to people and a stalker. You know, it can be used for good, you know, but this little bitty thing has changed society. It really has. And I'm gonna venture to say not for the best. So think about that. Think about our young people especially, but even some of us in here, what are we doing? There's something where we're on the outside looking in, okay? There's decisions that we have to make that could take us one step closer to being tempted to sin, okay? Here's the first rule of making a defining moment decision. I love this. This is an original by me. Some of this is not original by me. Listen to this. We need to downplay the upside while playing up the downside. Have you ever heard that? We need to downplay the upside. So when it comes time to make a decision, let's don't think about what we can get from it or how our lives will change in a positive way before we make a decision. Why don't we go on the other side of things and think about what the downside is going to be? What the downside? What are the things that could happen when I make this decision? What are the things that could happen that may negatively impact my family's life or my life or the people that are close to me's lives? I think that's how you begin, okay? Think about everything you do and project yourself into the future. And maybe some of you went through this but when you were younger, but think about this. Ask yourself, will I be glad I did this when I'm 80 years old? You know, will I be glad I did this when I'm... Does this really matter? Is this decision that I'm making in the eternal value of things that we should always be thinking about, does this decision really matter when it comes to eternal significance? And look, that's hard. That is hard. You know, the God's creation and the playground that He's created for us to enjoy, sometimes it's hard making decisions when it's about fun or when it's about something about us, isn't it? I mean, I know we're going through something right now as a family where we put our house up for sale. If anybody wants to buy it, give me a call, okay? But we're struggling through that decision. We really are because I'm not a fancy person. Look at me. You know? Yeah, thank you, Dwight. If this was a second service, I'd tell you to put a sock in it, But listen, I mean, we're going through this decision and we're struggling through it. We really are. We want to make the best decision. And when it comes to material things sometimes, that's a tough decision to make. Do we really need it? You know? Anyway, I don't want to bore you with what I'm going through. Pray for me. Is it leading me in the direction that I really want to go? Okay? Defining moments in your life when you have to make those aha decisions, those aha moments in your life when you know that you have to make a major decision, whether it's about your health or your family's health or financial issues or where you're going to live, you must understand that it can affect the rest of your life. Look at verse 18 real quick. So Abram moved his tent and went to live beside the oaks of Mamre in Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. He had to make a choice. How do we make choices? You know, none of us really want to make a bad choice like Lot did and move into Sodom. None of us want to live like that. None of us do. So we've got to think about this, okay? Instead, what we want to do is to be people of faith like Abraham was. People of faith like Abraham was, whom God blesses those kind of people. Do you understand that? Do we really realize today as a church that God blesses faithfulness? Because listen, if you really understand that, you're going to live a life of faith, amen? And sometimes, I'll be honest, I don't see that. I don't see that as a minister, as your friend, and as a pastor on staff at this church. Sometimes I wonder how much faith we really live by. How much faith do we multiply things by God enough? Now, outside of the church, in your personal lives, are you faithful? Are you faithful? Do you trust in the Lord enough to say, God, here I am, send me? Are you willing to take that step of faith and live a life of faithfulness? That's what Abraham did. You know, one of the characteristics of Abraham's life was every time that he had to make a big decision or had a significant event in his life, he built an altar. He built an altar. An altar in the Bible symbolized a close, personal connection with God. And what it did, it commemorated notable encounters with him. And listen, we have that same opportunity today as Christians. We have that same opportunity to connect with God. You know, when we can open our hearts and submit to God like Abraham did, okay? And the way we do that is by praying before, during, and after those defining moment decisions. You know, sometimes I'm blown away at some of the decisions that I see people make, and then I'll ask them a simple question: have you prayed about it? No? I mean, listen, we're created in God's image, and we have God there at our ever beck and call. Why don't we speak with Him more? And why don't we lay things at His feet more often and live a faithful life? In a trusting life. I mean, so, I know I'm making it sound easy, and it's not easy in my life either. But listen, we have to do it. You know, believe you me, there's been times where we've had decisions we've had to make, and we've spent hours on our faces, and it hurt. Sometimes it hurts to pray like that to God. But I'm going to tell you, I'd rather go through pain like that. Pain on the front end. Than they have to pay for with pain on the back end. Defining moments. Pray during, or pray before, during, and after we make those kind of decisions. When we pray, we're demonstrating our faith in a God who has a plan for us and who is worthy of being followed. I want to read a little list. I want to illustrate this real quick, okay? Let me read that once again. When we pray, we're demonstrating a faith in God who, believe me, God has a plan for each and every one of us. Every single one of us, He has a plan for our lives. It's up to us as Christians, people made in His image, to acknowledge His presence in our lives, okay, and figure that plan out, okay? We have free will. We can make choices, okay? We can't always choose the consequences of those choices. But if you're praying first and you're understanding that He's in control and that you're His child and that He loves you and He wants to take care of you, those decisions can become easy. Easier, let me put it that way. Okay? We all know life's difficult. So, we pray, we're demonstrating our faith in God who has a plan for us and who is worthy of being followed. I'm going to share an illustration with you to kind of illustrate this point. An organization in Montana offered a bounty of $5,000 for every wolf that was captured alive. And two hunters, and I'll name them Sam and Jed, okay, decided to head for the hills and make some money capturing these wolves. And so day and night, they scoured the mountains and the forests, searching for this valuable prey. And once again, $5,000 for every wolf that they captured, okay? So they really spent day and night trying to find these wolves. So after 3 days of hunting, they were just really exhausted. They hadn't had any success at all, so they kind of both fell asleep. But during the night, Sam suddenly woke up to find that his buddy Jed and he were surrounded. They were surrounded by a pack of about 50 wolves. And if you've ever seen wolves at night, they have these flaming red eyes. And these wolves had just their teeth were bared, and they were snarling at the two hunters, preparing to bounce on them. And this Sam woke up, and he kind of nudged Jed, and he said, Jed, wake up. We're going to be rich. Look, perspective with this. Real opportunity only comes when we have a defining moment with God. Only when we have a defining moment with the Lord. And I want to encourage us today as a church. Maybe some of us aren't going through some humongous decisions. But maybe some of us are. But listen, even in the smaller decisions, I love that song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way. To be happy in Jesus, trust and obey. That was a perfect hymn for this morning. You know, we also, not only do we need to our defining moments, you know, we need to multiply them by the Lord and trust in Him. Listen, we need to build around ourselves, in a sense, a personal board of directors, a godly cocoon, I like telling our young people, to have a godly cocoon of people in our lives around us. Okay, there's wisdom in a number of counselors, people who love us and who also will speak truth into our lives. And as I look out this morning, I can say that for dozens of men and women in this room that have done that for me. And I'm thankful for that, that I've gone to you for advice, or maybe you saw some things and you know that maybe I could work on over the years that I've been here. And I appreciate that. We all need that, those kind of people in our lives. You know, these counselors will be able to say to us, you know, you're not thinking clear about this issue, or if you move in this direction, you're heading for a disaster. Or maybe they'll say, please stop and think and pray, okay? Pray through this. But listen, if we pull away from people who love us, we're going to make bad decisions just like Lot did, okay? He kind of pulled away from Abraham, didn't he? And they were going to go their separate ways, but Lot could have taken the time. And hey, Uncle Abe, you know, he could have thrown some things out to him, but he didn't. He chose to go in his own direction. You know, we need the check and balance of godly, Christ-centered friends in our lives, that godly cocoon of people to help us make those tough decisions. I truly believe as I walk with the Lord on a daily basis, and I am not perfect, and I put my pants on one leg at a time, I've said that before, I don't know much about seems like every day I learn something new. And every day I realize that there's so much more I've got to grow. Yesterday morning we ate. There's a Sunday school class of senior adult men who have breakfast at Hazel's one Saturday a month. And when I sit in that breakfast table with these men, I think, man, there's just so much wisdom in this at this table. And it's awesome to be able to have those men that I can turn to. And I thank you. You know who you are. But listen, in closing, decisions come at us rapidly. Trying to discern which decisions are really important can overwhelm us. We all know that. Putting it extremely lightly here, listen, if we either pray about what necktie to wear or we ignore God altogether. So there's two types of people. There's two ways to go in life. Either we make decisions on our own or we trust in the Lord and we go the path that He's wanting us to take. And look, I promise you, and you know this, I'm preaching to the choir. That path isn't always the way we want to go. Defining moment decisions. You know, but there is good news. We don't have to flounder around in the fog, okay? The Bible supplies clarity about God's thinking on moral issues, on spiritual issues, and some physical issues in His Word, okay? The Bible supplies clarity about His thinking on these things. And when we faithfully keep communication lines open and work at living to honor God, our defining moment decisions will be made according to God's Word and directed by His Spirit and His Spirit's work in us. Amen? So I want to close with this question again. Where is your tent pitched? Where is your tent pitched? Are you on the outside of sin looking in, ready to take that step? Or in all honesty, are you facing away from it, going in the direction to God? We're going to have a moment of invitation. And maybe there's some in here that have been a part of our congregation for several weeks, and today's the day you just, you know, feel like God's calling you to join our church. You can come down front. Dr. Kerr and I will be here. Maybe you're in here and you don't have a clue what I was talking about because you've never cracked the Word of God open. And you don't know who Jesus is from LeBron James. Finals are on tonight, by the way. Or maybe you're here and you just need some prayer. The altar's open. Dr. Kerr and I will be here. Won't you stand and let me pray. God, we love you. Father, thank you for this time. And Lord, I thank you for defining moments in my life. God, I thank you for the ones where I didn't make the right decisions and you blanketed me with your grace and your mercy. God, you can do that in all of our lives. And I thank you for the ones where, God, I went the direction in which you were leading me. And Father, you were blessed, but I was blessed more abundant. Thank you. I pray, God, for our church this morning, Lord, that we will see how important those moments can be in our lives, God. And I pray that we will follow hard after you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for listening this morning, and I want to encourage you, think about where your tent is pitched, and maybe there's people in your own life, maybe a son or a daughter.